Welcome back to Observations. We're considering the sixth statement of the first of two books based on the relationship that a man named Listen to God, Shemuel, had, and the particular discussion may be the most important. Certainly in this man's life at this time, and maybe for all time, when the people said, appoint for us a ruler, for the purpose of actually deciding for us and continually governing over us, which Shemuel, as the closest individual to God, is the most knowledgeable person on God's nature, plan, and Torah guidance, said was literally wrong and would always be harmful. So a point for us is Nathan Law, placed before us, giving and granting us, bestowing and producing and committing, delivering to us. So the point that I made just before we went to the break is that there is this tendency to say, you know, it's not fair that God would have this plan that you have to know, understand, and respond to be saved and to be part of His covenant family because of the poor souls that existed, say, under as serfs, as having no rights under the dictates of cleric and king during the 2,000-year reign of Roman Catholicism. And my answer would be, you know, according to this, the people chose this for themselves.
Mm-hmm. And these were the most knowledgeable people of God's plan
Correct.
On the planet.
Correct. Correct. This is what they wanted.
Human nature, not...
Yeah, it's human nature. Most people are afraid to be responsible. And even today, being responsible is the thing that we're trying to, in academia and through political correctness, is to weasel out of people. There's no accountability. There's no individual responsibility. So appoint for us a ruler. This is a Melech, a king. Someone to be in charge of the government, a political, societal, religious, and military authority. An advisor to ponder, to consider, and to respond to. A ruler. A government. Yeah. A Melech. For the purpose of Shaphat. Actually deciding for us. And continually governing over us. This is Shaphat Nu. Always judging for us. Having ongoing authority over us. Leading us and defending us. The call infinitive construct. It's a verbal noun intensifying the action of an ongoing condition. Actually deciding for us and continually governing over us. Having authority over us. So that's your choice. You can choose to have a human institution over you or God's guiding you. That's your option. But you can't have both.
You know, I spent hours and hours and hours going over these things, looking up each one of these words. Where you are, but even my feeble attempts, you can't. I keep coming back to, you know, you're choosing a man to decide for you when you already have everything, term and condition, every method to achieve success. Mm-hmm. Every promise you have chesed written from the tablets of stone, unearned mercy, kindness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's guiding them everywhere. He took them. They know their history.
He's freed them. Yeah, he's freed them. He's fed them. He's clothed them. He's protected them. He's granted them great gifts, a beautiful land. And here they say, no, we don't want that anymore. What we really want is a ruler like all the other countries and a government like all the other countries.
But they'd never lost a battle if when they were with him. He's never failed to take care of them. They had nothing to worry about.
No. And most of their battles were, let's go around Jericho of the moon. Let's go around there and we'll holler and shout and sing and you know, beat our drums and blow our horns and...
And
the rest of it's just over, you know. And for those who would say, well, then, you know, God did the killing, so So you want to say that you're smarter, more moral than God, that your decision as to how to deal with that blight, that infection, is better than his?
Well, you can see,
you know,
that.
If God did it, then you have to admit there is a God.
Yeah.
And if blowing horns, singing songs, and marching around walls caused the walls to crumble, then you're going to have to ask yourself, well, how did that occur? And why isn't that nobody else can perform that same miracle?
Well, you would have to, I think it's probably he knew it was where the earthquake was coming.
Yeah. So always judging for us, having ongoing authority over us. People long for authority. It's, you know, one of the things about being part of a religion or a political party is that you have leaders that tell you what to think, what
now
to do.
You were in Russia after the walls came tumbling down, so to speak, in Germany?
I was there before and after.
So how did the people take to it from everything I've read? They long for the days that somebody told them what to do. Because now you've got your own job and just the things of your what you
exactly. Exactly. Once Glasnost occurred and people were open to their own free will, they had no idea what to do. We know when it was just little things. When they walked into the Gum store, which was the one government store, and there was one type of toothpaste and one kind of a tube, and only there on Tuesdays, and everybody lined up on Tuesdays to get your toothpaste, there wasn't much thinking involved. And then when there was openness, and there were 50 kinds of toothpaste and 100 different delivery systems and available any day and every day, people had to decide. They had to do a little research. They had to decide what was the best value, the best, most effective, and make a decision. And they didn't like it.
Hmm. That's very telling, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah, it's telling. It's the nature, it's human nature. It's the wrong aspect of human nature. So Shamuel personally requested ongoing intercession from Yahweh. Now, you mentioned that you didn't go into quite the detail in your translations. There's a reason that I try to scrub every word. And the primary reason is I don't think that you get to where you want to go unless you're consistent.
Yeah.
So, for example, if I look at a word and the primary definition, according to the religious periodicals, doesn't fit, and I only look at those words and I only go to the root of those words to more accurately and completely define them, I think I'm a bit of a fraud.
Yeah,
and so I think the only way to be true and to produce something that is worthy of inspection is to be consistent. So every word gets examined. Every word gets thoughtfully dissected. Every word, you look to the root. You look at words written with the same letters that are marked differently by the Masoretes.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the oldest sources. If you don't do your diligence and you're not being consistent, then I don't think that what you produce is as worthy as what you could do otherwise.
No. I'm pretty close to what you've got. It's not quite as much because it was more of a time factor to look it up in four more lexicons and so forth. But a lot of this is very helpful to me because I already know a lot of these words, what they mean in depth. So there's
that's a growing knowledge helps. Now, one of the things that I've found is that the number of lexicons isn't as important as the number of words that you look up within each lexicon. So, for example, if you want to look up Palal, what you need to do is look up every word that is written the same way, as well as the verbal root of the word, as well as the words that contain the basis of that word.
Right.
And so I will look up I'll go up and down maybe 10 words, and then I'll look at the root of the word, go up and down 10 words. And so it's the number of words that you look at that are written similarly that I think provides the most complete and accurate definition of a word, as opposed to just looking up the word itself in one lexicon. And you find, too, that there's a lot of words were written exactly the same way, even vocalized the same way by the Masoretes,
mm-hmm.
that have a first, second, third, and, you know, and fourth meaning. And you got to look at, so it's the amount of time, really, you invest in each resource, yeah. the depth that I think provides the most complete answer. So anyway, so Shamuel personally requested ongoing intercession. So now, most English Bibles say, so Sam prayed to the Lord.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
Pages on Palal.
Yeah, Palal. So I'll share with my what I learned, and then you tell me if you learned anything different. So personally requested. Personally, I put in there. Now, you might say, why did he put in personally? And then it's requested, ongoing. Now, the ongoing here is a is based on the imperfect conjugation. Intercession.
Yep.
So, Palal decided of his own initiative that he'd receive a thoughtful response regarding the consequences, and thus individually made a request of, asking for intervention, mediation, and arbitration. This is from Yahweh. It's the hit pa'el stem, whereby the subject, Shamuel, acts upon his own initiative, and in the process causes the object, who is Yahweh here, to respond and engage. Then it's in the imperfect conjugation, which speaks of that occurring on an ongoing basis. So personally requested, because that's the nature of the stem.
Yeah.
Well, personally requested is the Palal's primary meaning means to ask, to request.
Yes.
Its secondary meaning is mediation and intercession.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got those. I didn't do all the English stuff. I mean, all the
grammar
stuff.
Yeah, the hit file stem is not used very often, so it's a unique stem, and its attributes are interesting. That it wasn't societal custom, it wasn't a group request. Nobody asked Samuel to do this, but that it was completely individual. You know, he didn't have a group prayer meeting. It was him by himself, on his own initiative, making this request.
Yeah, I did get that the Palal, of course, has a double lamb.
So yes, it does.
Really asking for direction, extra emphasis on direction and teaching. You know, help me on this. And he's
because the lamed is a shepherd's staff.
Shepherd's
it means
staff,
to direct, to lead, and to protect.
So
but primarily, it is to direct and to lead. And then the pay, the first letter in Palal, is a mouth, right?
Right.
So direct me, lead me with words.
Right.
With spoken words.
Communicate with me, yeah.
Right, yeah. Communicate with me the guidance and leadership that I require on this.
Exactly.
Yeah, as I say, you don't have to be literate. You don't have to be literate to understand this language. It's a marvelous thing about it.
Yeah.
Just know what the letters look like.
Yeah.
Decided of his own initiative. As you drill down on Palal, you find out that that he was requesting a thoughtful response.
That's good.
Yeah. And he knew that, you know, he had this horrible perspective. He just thought that them asking for a ruler to decide for us, and to govern us, was a wrong and harmful, disastrous, displeasing, miserable choice.
What are you crazy? That's the most evil thing.
So that was. So Samuel said, okay, you got all the people. They want this one thing. I'm listening to them. I think, are you nuts? That's a terrible idea. And so it does two things. One, it says truth is not popular.
True.
Right? Truth is not popular. You know, so many people say, how in the world can you be right and everybody else be wrong? Well, look at Samuel. He was right. Everybody else was wrong, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
So very, very common. And second, that he said, you know, I want to go to the source. This is my perspective on this, everything that I know about Yahweh and the guidance I've read, that this is a horrible idea. But
I'm going to
go privately, personally, to God and ask him to intervene here, because this is beyond me. And it's kind of like, too, that Yahweh was saying, Shamuel is saying, you asked me to do this.
Yeah.
You inspired me to do this. You've guided me. You've been with me every step of the way. And the people want to reject me.
Yeah.
And they want a leader like the Gentile nations to decide and you know, make decisions and to govern them. You know, is my ego getting in the way here? Did I miss something? You know, what's going on here, God?
Yeah. We know what it is.
So he went to God for answers.
Yeah. You know, and he tells him, it ain't you, pal, it's me.
Yep. So he wanted it from Yahweh. Then Yahweh said, so when you go personally, quietly, privately, of your own initiative to Yahweh, and you genuinely are expecting insights from him, guess what? What's the first thing he's going to do? Did Yahweh say, hey, listen, I'm busy. I got other things to deal with. You know,
no.
Go figure this out for yourself.
No. He's going to help you every step of the way.
Right. Then Yahweh said, answered Amar, spoke, responded, audibly using words. To Shamuel. Did he speak to the people? Nope. Spoke to Shamuel? What? Right. He didn't know the people. They didn't know him. He didn't know them. But he did know Shamuel.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to Shamuel, choose to carefully listen within certain limits to the voice of the people concerning everything what they have to say to you. Because they are not against you, rejecting you, but instead, they have temporarily rejected me.
Mm-hmm.
Avoiding and actually despising an association with me as an authority and advisor to ponder, to consider, and to respond to. Over them.
That's just absolutely sad.
So, what Yahweh is saying here is that, you know, Shamuel, I really want you to listen to what they have to say. Not because I want you to agree with them, because I want you to understand what they have to say and what it means.
I think he wanted us to understand it, too. So it'd be
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I want you to listen to what they have to say. It's the idea that I began this program talking about the idiocy of the religion of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Its base proposition of Shaul v. Yahweh. And the idiocy of it. Well, if you don't listen to what Paul has to say, then there's no way you can expose and condemn the rubbish that has stolen the souls of billions of people.
Yes.
So until you really listen to and understand what it is that the people want in terms of how many, you know, in America, how many people are patriotic tendencies?
Most.
How many are political?
Vast majority.
How many are religious?
Once again, large swaths of the population.
How many support their troops? Honor their troops?
9 out of 10.
Yeah.
I absolutely think they're saving us. You
right.
Seen the Navy ad recently?
Oh,
new
God.
Navy ads. We fight them over there so they can't come and get you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They have to get through all of us before they can get to you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I mean, it's just, it is.
I ain't afraid of them.
Absolutely. And so, you know, God wants you to understand what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, he didn't say agree with them.
No.
He didn't say, I want you to listen to and agree with them. He said, I want you to listen to what they have to say so that you understand it. And that way, then you will recognize what it is they're really asking for. And what they're saying is, they don't want to have a relationship with me.
Yeah.
They're not rejecting you, per se. They're rejecting me.
Yeah.
Avoiding me. Despising an association with me. And that's when, if you're patriotic, if you're political, if you're religious, if you're pro-military, you're doing the same thing today. You're showing your disdain for Yahweh and rejecting an association with him. And so...
No, you can't do it any other way. That's exactly what it says.
Right. So listen to the voice. Listen to the sound of the people, the nation, the group of followers, the related kin, concerning with regarding to everything, the totality of what they have to say, Amar, or what they propose on an ongoing basis regarding the relationship to you. Because, for indeed, truly, this is key, they are not against you, lo eth ata, rejecting you, ma'ak, avoiding an association with you at this moment, temporarily despising, scorning, and spurning you, being adverse to and loathing you. This was in the call perfect. So it doesn't. It means that this occurred for a finite period of time. Now, a finite period of time could well be from the time of the Exodus all the way up to the point of Yahweh's return. That would still be finite.
Yeah.
It's a long period of finite, but it's still finite. And since the chosen people, Yisrael, eventually form an association with Yahweh, stop despising him, stop rejecting him, this has to be written in the perfect. And so it is. They're actually despising an association with me as an authority, an advisor to ponder, to consider, and respond to. Malek, Yahweh wants to be the person we look to for guidance.
Leadership.
For decisions, for leadership.
Right.
Now, what follows here, Kirk, is sad. You know, it's sad that Yahweh is saying that by choosing government, you're rejecting God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a simple statement. By choosing government, you are rejecting God. But it goes on to say, similar to and consistent with all of the deeds, the customs, and the practices that they have engaged in from the day I lifted them up and withdrew them out of the crucibles of Mitzrayim, even to this very day, and also rejecting and abandoning me and serving gods of others.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're doing so to you. Wow. So what Yah is saying here is that the nature of the nation, the nature of the people, didn't change.
No.
He found them being dictated to by the government and religious authority, the military and economic prowess of Mitzrayim, Egypt. He found them as slaves in a kingdom where the Pharaoh claimed that he was the son of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen-Ra.
Yeah, and where his military was used to enslave them, and where they were forced to build homes for the Pharaoh and his family, and temples for their wannabe gods.
Yeah.
That's where he found them, in squalor, beaten, mistreated,
having
their sons murdered.
Yeah, he could just arbitrarily say, kill all the sons.
Right.
He did.
And that's where he found them. And he says, consistent with all of the deeds, the customs and practices that they have engaged in from the very day that I lifted them up and withdrew them from the crucible of Mitzrayim, right to this very day, they have rejected and abandoned me. Wow.
It's like, what do I have to do for you people?
Yeah. Not only did I defeat the greatest army the world had known at that time,
yeah,
and not only did I provide safe escape for you and walk with you all along the way and guided you and fed you and clothed you and provided drink for you and shelter for you, keeping your enemy at bay, liberating you, and then inspiring and empowering and enriching you with my Torah guidance, and then giving you the promised land and ridding that home of the belligerents.
The disease.
And yet, all along the way, you were grumblers, rejecting me.
Yeah, your deeds, your work.
Yeah, right. You know, and it's interesting here, he says that Allah anieth him the day I lifted them up and I withdrew them.
Yes.
You know, the difference was the Egyptian pharaohs, the Egyptian leaders, the Egyptian military, the Egyptian merchants, the slaves they had to bow down to.
Absolutely.
But here is the most powerful, the most, you know, awe-inspiring individual in the universe. And Yahweh says, I lifted you up.
Yeah.
I got you off your knees. I didn't have you change from bowing down to them to bowing down to me. I lifted you up.
Mm-hmm. That's why you ought to learn how to draw his name.
Yeah.
A reminder every day, gum day.
Right. Yeah, it begins with the hand that reaches down and out to lift up the two individuals,
mm-hmm.
both who are standing and reaching up to him.
Mm-hmm.
And between those two individuals is the tent peg, which means they were made secure in a home, protected, and empowered and enriched, added to, because it's the wall, increased in every way. So I lifted them up and withdrew them. In association with them, I caused them to rise up, and together with them, I took them away. Hiphol, infinitive, expressing action unlimited in time or individual, whereby the subject, in this case Yahweh, causes the object, in this case the children of Yisrael, to participate in the action just like the subject, God himself. So by using this stem, the Hiphol stem in the infinitive, it means that when he lifted them up, he caused them to be like him. That when he withdrew them from the crucibles of Egypt, from human, religious, political, economic, and military oppression, that he caused them to be like him, free, liberated, separated from these things.
Good idea.
Well, so it's an interesting spin. So, yeah, he is actually enabling the beneficiaries to be like him. You know, the Pharaoh falsely claimed to be like God.
Mm-hmm.
And Yahweh made the children of Israel genuinely like God. That's
sure.
The whole thing of his adopting us and perfecting us and enriching us and empowering us so that we can stand and be raised, is withdrawn from human oppression is that we become more like Him.
There's so many positive things to learn.
Yeah.
And they're all associated, doesn't matter what, because I've been with you a long time now. Mm-hmm. And there's so many verses that all come back to these same marvelous things that He's done and will mm-hmm. do, and His mm-hmm. in His promises, His just word of promise, what's that? Emerald?
Amar. Amar means to say and to promise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and it's everywhere you turn.
And Imra means a word, which is a promise.
Yes.
Right?
Imra, yeah. Same root, yeah.
Right. And He took them away from the crucibles of Egypt, Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the plural of crucible.
Mm-hmm.
So where was the pressure coming from that caused the children of Israel to be enslaved? By the religion? The government, the religion?
The political, the religious.
Economic oppression, right? And all along the way, they azabbed Yahweh.
Yes.
Azab.
Abandoned.
Right.